Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Luke chapter 18. Thank you, Daniel and team. Are you ready? Luke 18 and verse 35, and Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Would you say that with me? "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now do it like you really need help and mercy. Ready, set, go. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let's pray. Father, move in power, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. How would you respond if Jesus was walking by here tonight? If he was walking through and you knew it was him? What would you do? What would be your response? Some might run because they have things that could be exposed and they wouldn't want him to expose them. Although he never castigated anybody for that. When they came, they were repentant. He forgave them, didn't make fun of them. He did at times, you know, like make a whip on the Sabbath and flip over the money-changing tables, those who sold doves, those who were ripping off the people in the house of worship. He was totally against that. Jesus was, it's not some limp-wristed, amen, man who spoke in Elizabethan English and had no power. Not just a historical figure. He's the Son of David. When we say the Son of David, that ties him directly to the lineage of David and the Davidic, the messianic prophecy of David found in Samuel's, at 2 Samuel 7, verse 4, that God would always have, that David would always have an heir on the throne, and Jesus is in the lineage of David. If Jesus was passing by tonight, what would you be your response? This is a beautiful text of Scripture because we see this blind beggar receives this miracle. And in it, he gives this text. The Holy Spirit speaks to us tonight and gives us principles on how to release a miracle in your life. Religion and tradition, as I've said so many times before, are like the two twin sisters from hell. They're never going to do anything for you. Thank you so much. They don't get you free. They don't get you delivered. But real desperation moves you to cry out to God. If you look at the book of Judges and you see how in the book of Judges they went through bondage and Midian put such trouble on them, and when they cried out, God would come and he would answer them and he would send them a deliverer, and it would be a judge. And the judge would rule, and they were imperfect, but God would use them, and God would anoint them, and he would lead Israel out of bondage, and would break them out of their difficulty, and then they would go back to sin, and then they would cry out again. The crying out of the children of Israel brought freedom, brought power, brought deliverance. Your deliverance is oftentimes tied to your cry. And if you don't have a hunger and you don't have a thirst and you're not desperate, you just want God to come and do miracles for you. That might happen because he's a good God. But your deliverance, your provision, your breakthrough, your eyesight, the end of your begging comes when you tie faith to a cry that moves the heart of God. When your cry is sincere and before God, you don't care what it looks like. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody who's super desperate for the Lord, but they don't look all cute sitting in a chair. They usually rush the front right during worship. Or even during preaching, it would be preaching and faith begins to rise in their heart. And they begin to realize, man, I need God to deliver me. I'm broken. I need help. Oh God. And we've seen people run in the middle of the service straight to the front. I'm one of them. Came running in. In actual fact, I was coming back so many years ago from Lahaina. I had been there overnight at work and I was racing to get to the church service. Before I met Pastor Karen, I left Lahaina and was racing. I was late for church. I came in, I had missed all the glorious worship, and it was time for prayer. And in my heart, I felt like if I didn't get to the front of that church, I might die and it would all be over. I was so broken for God to help me in so many areas of my life. And I came into the church in Maui after that drive, breaking all the speed limits from Lahaina. Parked my car, ran in like a wild man, blew past all the security. Couldn't have stopped me if they tried. And I came in headlong like Pete Rose. You know, does anybody know Pete Rose? He just piled up in the altar, and I'll never forget Dr. Morocco coming and ministering to me. And I'll never forget what he said. Oh, Daniel, you're so sensitive to the Spirit of God. And he ministered to me, and I got a miracle. Your hunger, your desperation is tied to your miracle. How hungry are you? I mean for God. How thirsty are you? And we could go and look at the woman with the issue of blood, and perhaps we will. 18 years of the bondage of the doctors, spent all that she had, and was no better. In fact, she was worse, and she had no more money to help herself. You know, when you come to the end of yourself, and you come to the end of your money, and the end of your pride, and the end of your intellect, and you come to the end of all the help that we know it in the natural, it produces in you a desperation that'll move you to the very throne of God. And I believe that this Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, I believe he was at the end. He called out to Jesus. And again, as he calls out Jesus, Son of David, it's really like the text saying he's believing on Jesus. It's like he's getting born again. He's acknowledging the Messiah is now in his midst, Son of David, Son of David. It's not a regular term. He didn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Son of David, Son of David. Messiah, Mashiach, have mercy on me. God incarnate, stepped out of eternity into the earth, walked the earth for 33 and a half years, cast out devils, healed the sick, and set the captives free. He touched people that are wealthy and people that are broken and everything in between. And you'll find a commonality in the deliverance that comes to people is a burning desire for change and breakthrough. And this blind man, he was so done. He called out. Perhaps he knew the prophetic word of Isaiah 35. I'm going to read it to you. Verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and bloom as the rose. It shall bloom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make feeble firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, don't fear. Behold, your God comes with vengeance, with recompense of our God. He will come and save you, and the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for waters will burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. He cried out, Son of David. And the other thing that's fascinating to me is, how did he actually know that it's the Son of David? Maybe, we don't know how long he was blind for here in Luke, in the book of Luke, we don't know. He could have gone through his bar mitzvah, maybe he knew the Torah, we don't know. But somebody told him the Messiah has come, his name is Jesus, he's the Son of David. Somebody witnessed to him. The other day went fishing, and it's a favorite thing I love to do. Actually, I like catching. Fishing, don't care for. But somebody said a bad day of fishing is better than a good day of work. Not in my case, but maybe for you. Went fishing the other day, and I was with our brother Chansey. And during the, I don't know, I think it was 24 hours or less, we went on our day off and we went down and went fishing. And during that period of time, on the way at gas stations, at one of the fishing spots, Bird Creek, I think, we pulled over. He led three people to Jesus in the course of the time when we stopped. And I was so blessed by his boldness to just go up to somebody and just start witnessing to him, just start telling them about the Lord. Somebody was bold to tell this blind beggar about Jesus. Hey, listen, dude, listen, what? Listen, I'm gonna give you a couple drachmas here, but just listen. There's this guy, his name is Jesus, he's the Messiah. And if he ever comes by here, you be sure to get him to lay hands on you, pray for you, because he'll do a miracle for you. He's the Messiah, he's the Son of David. What do you mean he's the Son of David? He's the promised one of Isaiah 53. When he comes, you call out until he'll hear you. He'll hear you if you cry out, and your begging days will be over and your sight will be restored. When he comes, somebody witness to him. Somebody share. When's the last time you witnessed to somebody? When's the last time you shared your faith? That's fascinating to me. And not only that, but he cried out for mercy. He cried out for mercy. Wow. So oftentimes we don't understand that God is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. He can help you, and he wants to. He can do anything, but he wants to. He's not only able, he wants to. I want you to say that. God's not only able, he wants to. And mercy, you don't deserve it. Come on, some of you are mean as a hornet today. You all just need to repent right now. But God releases mercy. He releases mercy. It's a good thing to cry out for mercy. Somebody said, I want mercy. I want justice. Really? You really want justice? You better be sure of that. No, you want mercy. I'm telling you, because justice, if we had justice, we would all be dead, except for justice was served in the death of his Son. God's one and only begotten Son. Justice was served upon him. Wrath was put upon him. He was a propitiation for our sin. He cried out mercy. I want you to cry out mercy right now. God, have mercy. Say it again. God, have mercy. And he didn't just stop. You know, he cries out in the text. He asks the crowd what's happening. Verse 36, 37, it said Jesus is passing by. He's like, the Son of David. And he cries out, Son of David, have mercy. And then They're religious people. They rebuke him. Those who led the way, these are leaders. Those who lead the way are leaders. And you know, when you see somebody that's broken and crying out and desperate for God, it can make regular folk feel very uncomfortable. But the key to your breakthrough is tied to hunger and desperation. And if you don't have that, then you need to obtain it. I remember one man talking to the Lord. I thought, you're going to catch me. That would have really been a miracle. Thank you. Listening to a pastor years ago, the Lord said, you need to become desperate, son. The Lord spoke to him. Son, you need to become desperate, talking to the pastor. And the pastor says, well, God, I'm really not. And the Lord said, I'm going to help you with that. See, if you really realized how broken things are, you really realized how desperately you need him. If you really realized the power of God that could be manifested if you cultivate a hunger and a desperation, feed on the miracles of Jesus. Feed on the word of the Lord. Feed on all the different things he did and realize how much you don't have that. And then realize that he's an ever-present help in time of trouble, and that he can come, and if you'll cry out for mercy, he'll do that on your children. He'll pour out his spirit on your wayward sons and daughters. He'll pour out his spirit on your marriage. He'll pour out his spirit on our nation. He'll pour out his spirit on America. He'll pour out his spirit on Israel. He'll pour out his spirit on Lahaina. We need to learn to cry out. I remember years ago, when that attack of wind came, I was so upset, I can't tell you, because it attacked my theology. Because theologically, the devil cannot come over the bloodline that I have prayed. And I still believe that. So when there is such a demonic onslaught and such damage brought to our facility 18 months ago, I was like, Lord, what the heck? No, you can talk to God like that if you don't understand stuff. I'm like, Lord, seriously, like, where's the rebuking and the devourer? Like, Lord, how is that even possible? And I'm mouthing off to God because I'm upset. I don't understand. How many of you know you don't have it right? Yeah, he always has it right. So if things in your life aren't lining up with Scripture, guess who needs to correct? Let me go over here to that's good crowd. If you in your life don't see the manifestation of Scripture and truth, Scripture and truth has not failed. It's you're the one that needs to change. Amen. Don't ever analyze God's word by your own powerlessness and then insulate yourself from the fact that you're impotent instead of analyzing and realizing you're not desperate, you're not hungry, you haven't done it yet, you haven't touched the hem of his garment yet. It's a big difference. So the people make theological arguments over their powerlessness. Well, there's no real miracles now because you haven't seen, you haven't seen one. Oh, pornography watching. So when you look at your life, do you see the power of God? And if you don't, then say, okay, I see a measure of it. And I see a measure. I'm thankful. But there's more. I said there's more. Well, if the Lord really wanted to, he would just come and touch me. Really? 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 So here's the blind beggar. Okay, so Dr. David, would you be Jesus for a moment and would you just walk by? I'm gonna be the beggar guy, okay? Let's do two things here, two scenarios. Here's Jesus walking by, I'm the beggar. Okay, that's one scenario. Let's have Jesus walk by again. Should we do it this, you're walking by the other way, okay. What? Who is that?
It's Jesus, his son. It's Jesus, his Messiah.
Jesus! Hey! Help! Son of David! David! Are you going to lay hands on me? Come on. Oh, wow! The cry is the one that moved Jesus back. If he didn't cry, then, well, Jesus should have known that he was blind. He does know. He did know. And yet he still asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Do you think that Jesus knows what you're going through right now? He absolutely does. But if you don't learn to cry out, you don't learn to say, Son of David, have mercy, and you just sit on your blessed assurance. You just sit there and hope that God's going to recognize me. The prophet's going to call me out. Pastor Daniel's going to come. He's going to prophesy over me, and everything's going to be different. That might happen. That happens. Could happen tonight. But I found that God touches people into the direct proportion of the hunger that they have. And if you're religious and you sit on your hands and you don't want to be, I don't want to make a scene. Don't worry about making a scene. If it's the flesh, we'll be sure to stop you. But if it's God, we're going to have a revival. Lift your hands to heaven. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh. The Western culture has put, you know, just needs to be cute, needs to be not too many decibels, not too loud, not too warm, not too cold. Got to make sure we have good seats. I like the good. You like the seats? I like them. But God doesn't move here because we have nice seats and the decibels are right. And there's air conditioning. There's no air conditioning. But there will be. Next summer, in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? He calls out to Jesus. And he acknowledges Son of David as an acknowledgement of the Messiah. I think that's a good start. You need to give your life to Christ. You need to believe on the Lord. Somebody witness to him. And the calling out of the blind beggar caused Jesus to stop. Have mercy on me. And then when those who led told him to be quiet, he didn't obey. Isn't that amazing? I've gotten myself into some challenging situations because I'm a little bit like that blind beggar when I really want prayer. When I go to conferences, I just did it in Washington, D.C. There's this lady, and she's like a legend, okay? She's 80-something years old. Billy Brim. How many of you have heard of Billy Brim? All right. She's amazing. She preaches this powerful word. Power God is on me, and Billy Brim is older. She's going to go to heaven one day, and I don't know that I'll ever see Billy Brim again. And she partnered with Dr. Morocco and has this incredible faith, is used powerfully, written all these books. So she shares this message, and it was the Daughters of Rachel gathering. It was a women's thing.
I don't think it was at that meeting.
It was. It was the morning meeting. It was all women. There was like four guys there. I was one of them. Okay? And I'm like, oh, this lady's got to pray for me. And I've made scenes before. I don't intentionally make them. It's not like, oh, I'm going to make a scene. And if you do that, then you're going to be hogtied, shackled, and brought out of the church. And I just thought, I want prayer from this lady. And that's not happening. It's kind of like closing in a moment, which I'm not going to do. And then not have prayer. We enjoy prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of ministry, the laying on of hands. We believe in that. And I just feel like, oh, I need her to pray for me. So she's closing, and I'm like, I'm targeting, I'm looking, I'm gonna take my shot. I'm like, okay. And you know, people are maybe gonna crowd her, something's gonna happen, but I'm really good at it because I've been doing it for a long time. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I know how to slide right in the prayer line when the super anointed guy is coming. You know what I'm talking about? I know how to do it. I know how, I just do. I've been doing that since I got saved. So Billy Brims steps down and, all right, and here's what we're going to do right now. So she's leaving. She's got her young, I think it was her niece, granddaughter, and she's leaving. and she's moving towards the door, and she's gonna go, and I realized, this is it. So I hustle over there, and I'm like, hi, and they're like, oh. I'm like, hi, yeah. Would you pray for me? And then somebody rushes up. Oh, it's one of the leaders of the Christians United for Israel to give her bag of blessing, you know, an honor bag. It had goodies in it and things like that. You know what I'm talking about? And so they go to give her bag, interrupt my request for prayer. And here's the bag, and she looks, and it's like, and there's this guy with these blue eyes and like creepy dude who's there, but maybe he's not creepy, we don't know. And security's like, oh, we got something going on. I mean, it's serious. Security starts moving. They're moving in my direction. And I just said, would you please pray for me? And she's like, the granddaughter's like, what? Like, how rude. Can't you see how she's frail and needs to leave, and you're interrupting, and then this bag, and then the guy, and security, and it's awkward. And so I just said, could you please pray for me? And she's all, huh? I said, please pray for me. And she's like, what did she say? She says, yeah. Then the bag shows up, and then she forgets. And she's leaving. I'm standing there, and I'm like, I ain't moving. I want my blessing, man. And I'm standing there, and then she goes to leave. She's like, oh, it's the bald guy. She didn't say that, but she comes back. She lays hands on me and gives me this prophetic word, and the power of the Holy Spirit touched me. And I thought, oh, yes. And she says something like, you know the scriptures? I'm like, yes, ma'am. You know how to fight for God's promises? Yes, ma'am. She says, well, then fight then. I said, okay. How embarrassing. Who gives a flip? I'm going to tell you something. God will put something in the inside of you if you'll get hungry for it. But if you rest on your laurels and hope that he comes and just picks you out of the crowd, this is the greatest season of your life. Get your crazy anointed wife over here. This is the greatest season of your life. The Lord says, I'm rolling back physical challenges and problems. I'm renewing your strength like the eagle. You will find yourself running like a man in his 20s, like a woman in their 20s and 30s, and the fruit that I'm going to give you is going to be astounding, and the seeds that you've sown. The seeds that you've sown will come to fruition. They will come to fruition. You've not sowed in vain. Even the ones that you sowed that were in bad soil, I'm the one that can turn the soil. This is the greatest year. And the year next, and the next year, and the year after that. And I'm giving you divine health. I'm releasing divine provision. You're finding your place in a way that is going to be astounding. And even though you might say in your heart, oh God, couldn't this have happened 10 or 15 years ago? The Lord says, I was doing other things, and I will cause an exponential release of my blessing that 1 year will be like 10, and you will see the fruit and know that I've done it, says the Lord. Persevere. He persevered. You've got to persevere. You got to push past your own mind. You got to push past culture. It was inconvenient. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I second-guessed myself a couple times when I was trying to get the precious Billy Brim to pray for me. Like, this is awkward. Security's moving. I'm supposed to behave myself. You know, be dignified pastor from Alaska. Well, I'm not. There's times when I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and you don't look dignified and I don't really care. Some of you are so attached to how you look that you'll never put yourself in a place where it just cracks and crack the alabaster box. There's alabaster box breaking faith that God will release to you. And you have to push yourself away from the opinions of people. I'm not talking about being rude, but sometimes I've had people try to stop me. I've had people tell me years ago, sitting on the front, well, you're going to calm down. Well, first of all, I didn't even know I was all extra, I guess. Patted me. You're in the honeymoon stage. What is that? That's this religious lie that says once you get born again, then you're in the honeymoon stage, and then you shrivel up, and you just have to have the walk of faith. Well, the walk of faith. You just endure. Hallelujah. The Lord knows. Praise God. One day in the by and by, I'll be called up to heaven. One day. The Lord knows my heart. Well, he's sovereign. You know, if he wants to touch me, he can. He touches the blind beggars who cry out. He touches people that cry out. And society and culture want to shut you up. Those who led the way, they're the leaders of Jesus' crowd, told him to be quiet. And you can have a pastor, you can have a leader like Hannah had in the book of 1 Samuel. Eli tells her, hey, will you quit drinking? She's like, don't think such evil of me. I'm not drinking. I'm broken. I'm desperate. And the pastor did not, Pastor Eli, who did not respond to the word of the Lord and ended up cursed, fell over and broke his neck, for he was a fat man, is what actually the text says. And Israel moved into a place of Ichabod as the ark of God was carried off by the Philistines. And his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, it ripped off the offering, and he never did anything about it. He confronted them, but he never did anything. He never changed it. And there are people that are in leadership positions, I'm not saying in this house, but you make sure you never get it to that place, where you hold people back because now you're in a position in life. God rewards broken, hungry, desperate people that cry out for him and don't stop. And I will tell you, you don't ever stop. John Duke, don't ever stop getting hungry and thirsty. Don't ever stop crying out. Don't ever stop crying out, Pastor Gil. You would not be a pastor right now. You're broken. He just kept coming and kept going and kept serving God. Same thing. All the pastors on staff, all the ministers on staff, all the same. Broken, hungry. I just want to serve you. Going up to Delta Junction, freezing, nearly freezing to death in a building. Fixing pipes all night long as they burst, hoping that God would just come through and help you. He did, and he is, and he will, over and over and over again. Persevere. Everybody say persevere. James 1 and verse 2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. Wow. So that you may be mature. If you don't learn to persevere, you're immature. I've had people say to me, you know, I don't know. Just don't feel like the Lord's using me. Oh, grow a spine. Get in morning prayer. Connect with somebody who's doing something for God. Plug in. And if you feel that way, rebuke it. And start doing something. Start serving. Persevere. It's just like, nobody sees my gift, but does the Lord see your gift? I mean, who are we doing this for anyway? Never want to have a leadership that stops people from crying out or moving forward. Jesus brought him near, which is amazing to me, because in the midst of a crowd, he heard him. I mean, can you imagine how many people are gathering? Some say hundreds are moving with him. Everybody ever been in a crowd of 100 people and everybody's talking and celebrating and praising God? Do you see what he did to Jairus' daughter? Did you see? Oh, man, it was amazing. What he was going to do now? Where is he? I don't know. He's up there. He's up there, and people are like talking and celebrating, and I don't know, maybe they're waving palms. I mean, it's like a thing. And the Lord God, the Son of David, hears the cry of this blind beggar in the midst of a crowd. I want to tell you that God hears your cry, no matter where you are. One of our pastors in Lahaina, they live there, they pastor the church in Lahaina now. They pastor a church now that has been turned to ash. And I mean, it was like a blowtorch, melted metal. I mean, there's like nothing left. It's incinerated because of these hurricane winds. And Pastor Cowie and Minister Shalia, they're in their car. This fire that's moving a mile a minute. It moved a mile a minute. That's extremely fast. Chris, you've been around fire in California. A mile a minute. They got in their car and they take off, and it's too late. Like, the fire's all around them, and they're praying, and they're coming to make a right or a left, and you could go either way to get out of town, really, but they don't know which way to go. And they cry out, this is a testimony, God, Jesus, show us which way to go. And the husband goes, the pastor husband goes to go right, and out of Shalia's mouth, go left, just bold, take the left, and it brings them out, and they survived. They went right, they understand now, they went right, they'd be dead. They'd have been dead, very possibly. When you cry out, God will answer you. Well, I've been crying out and he hasn't answered me yet. He said, well, I see your attitude already. It was rotten. So you keep crying out. Well, I haven't really gotten an answer yet. Well, you know what that's the indication of? You're not done crying out yet. You say, I don't like that. Yeah, it's called perseverance. Well, I don't like persevering. Well, do you want to mature? You want to be a baby all your life? You're like 60-year-old babies. Not here, of course. Adult children, not in the sanctuary tonight. They're all at the fair. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's funny, though. Pastor Karen told me to say that. No, but it's true. So how do you know that? Because I was an adult child once. My emotions were frozen from a young age, and then when I was in my 20s, they were still frozen. There's some people that never mature. They never grow up. They can't take personal responsibility. And they can't. And perseverance will help you with that. I can't believe that. Oh, stop. Just serve. Put your chin down. God sees what you're doing. Love him. Cry out. I got like, where was that amen? It was over there. Thank you so much. Persevere, but say, I'm going to persevere. And he brings him near. And then this moment of faith comes where he says, what do you want me to do with you? If you've come to the altars here for prayer frequently, you will hear one of the pastors or ministers, or we have a healing team that comes. They're wearing a lanyard. That's how you know who they are. So if they don't have a lanyard, unauthorized to be able to pray for people in the front. So who would that be then? A rogue prayer person. And we don't know where their hands have been. They come to the front frequently. They'll ask you, what do you want Jesus to do for you? Why would God ask that? I mean, Jesus knows everything, right? Doesn't he? Doesn't God know everything? How many of you know God knows everything? How many of you know he knows what you need right now? How many of you know that when Jesus saw him, he knows that Jesus knows because he's God, he knows everything. And then clearly, he's got the garment of a beggar because that was a particular garment. It was like a permit to beg. It was a particular garment they had. And then he's clearly blind. So, I mean, does Jesus know he's blind?
Yes.
Yes. So then why would he ask that? Why would he say, Rich, what do you want me to do for you? Why would he ask that? Why would God ask, Ian, what do you want me to do for you? If I could clearly see what you needed, why would I ask you that? Why would Jesus ask someone who's blind, someone who's begging, and it's evident to everybody, especially God who knows, even without the clear indication of a beggar's garment and the clear indication of someone being blind. Why would Jesus ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" Answer that question in your own heart. Why is that? It's like when he goes to the pool, and there's many halt and lame and withered. And they're waiting for the stirring of the pool. And he asks the guy, "Do you want to be healed?" Well, he's at the pool, duh. Jesus, he's at the pool waiting for the stirring. Yes, of course. Right? Well, then why would God ask, "Do you want to be healed?" Because it's evident that he does, or is it? See, some people stay in their broken, dysfunctional, can I say blind life, because they don't want to change. Because the man at that pool in the book of John, he says, "I have no man." The man is standing there, and he says, "I have no man to bring me into the pool when it's I have no man to bring me into the pool, because every time it's stirred," which is pretty amazing. I mean, you have mirror. That means an angel is coming stirring. That means he was sitting there when the stirring happened a few times, I guess, and other people got in front of him and got healed. He watched it. I mean, you think that he would have recruited some strapping young guy to be there to help him. "I have no man." And the man, the creator, the dispatcher of the angels, is standing in front of him, and he says, "Do you want to be healed?" Why? Because he had brokenness on the inside of him. There was something about him that perhaps indicated that maybe he didn't. He asked this blind beggar, "Do you want to be healed? What do you want me to do for you?" Come on, say that. "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said it. "I want to see." Let me ask you. Jesus is walking by tonight. What do you want him to do for you? No, really. "What do you want me to do for you?" he says. He says, "I want to see. I want to see." He says, "Receive your sight." And he's instantly healed. Instantly healed. He made the earth in 6 days, rested on the seventh. Based upon that timeline, he could heal and take care of all your problems in less than 30 seconds, easy. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Lift your hands to heaven. Holy Spirit, right now, come. Right now, come. Let your power come, God, upon the hungry, the thirsty, those who cry out right now. Let we ever be remembrance, bring to remembrance this passage. That we never forget that you're the God who responds to the cry of your people. You know, you can miss moments. You can miss moments. The Billy Brim was a moment. I do not know. I don't know what happened to me. I shook for a moment. I got a word. You know, my mind was like, "She just talked to you like you're a year old in the Lord." I'm like, "Oh, shut up." Well, she's like, "You know the promises of God. Stand on the promises of God." And I went away, I got touched by the Lord. And the granddaughter, I think, was irritated. It was a little embarrassing, perhaps. Security's like, "Oh, it's just one of those prayer freaks," and they moved on. I don't know what happened. Something happened. Something happened to me. What? I don't know. But I've done that countless times. I can't recall. My pastor taught me that. My pastor taught me, anytime there's prayer, you get in prayer. You have hands laid on. There's impartation. You can miss your moment. The blind beggar had a moment. Can you imagine? "Oh, man, I don't want to make a scene." Listen, I'm not encouraging you to make a scene. I am encouraging you to get hungry. And hungry and thirsty and desperate and crying out looks different for different people. It looked different for Hannah before Eli. One thing I know for certain, that God hears a heart cry, a cry that comes from the heart. It might not even have any sound, not even look demonstrative, but he knows. And he stops in a crowd and he releases healing. He releases breakthrough. He releases sight. How desperate are you for Jesus?
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.